So get comfortable now. We'll be about 5 minutes. What I want to talk to you about is the servant heart of Jesus. I want to tell you some stories about Jesus, one story in particular about Jesus serving his disciples, the people that were meant to be serving him. Jesus came to serve them. And you know, he came to serve you as well. Jesus came to die for you. He came to live his life, to serve other people, and he came to die for you. I wonder if you know Jesus in this room tonight. I wonder if you've met him for yourself. We'll only give you an opportunity to do that tonight. You know, Jesus is the most humble servant there's ever been. He's the opposite of this world. You know, in this world, our culture that we live in, it's all about me, 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 isn't it? It's all about looking after number one. You've got to look after number one, because if you don't, no one else will. What a load of tosh. That's rubbish, you know. As Christians, we believe that service and serving one another is fundamental. Serving other people in the church and outside of the church is what we exist for as Christians, because that's what Jesus did. Here's some of the things that Jesus said. Jesus said, "I am among you as one who serves." He said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." He said, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted." And that's what Jesus did. Jesus humbled himself by coming to earth from heaven. He decided, by the way, to do that, to live his life as a human being and to experience the temptations and the suffering that we experience. Oh, but more suffering, actually, for Jesus. Jesus suffered to pay for our sin, to pay for the sin that you and I commit every day, the bad things that we do wrong every day. Jesus came in order to remove that. Oh, Jesus was a servant, all right. He was your servant and mine. I want to read to you tonight the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And if you've got your Bibles, it's John chapter 13. We're going to read two little bits from that. And this is Jesus, the first part of Jesus going to have his last meal with his disciples. And in John's Gospel, this spans over four chapters of John's Gospel. And this is interesting, this, because this is the beginning of this meal, this final meal that Jesus has with his disciples. You know, the thing that we remember when we do communion is from this meal. But first, before anything, Jesus did something beautiful for his friends, for the people that followed him. Let me read to you what he did. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was already being served, and the devil had all prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. And then we're going to fast forward to verse 12. When he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." Do you want to be blessed tonight? Let's listen to Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus a little bit more. You know, washing someone's feet in those times was a servant's job, a very menial job that servants were paid to do, or slaves had to do. Jesus made the decision to do this. They'd started eating already, Jesus and his disciples, and Jesus stopped the meal, got up, and decided to wash his disciples' feet. Why did he do it? Well, to teach them a lesson, to teach them about humility. Do you want to hear a song about humility? A good Christian song. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you get better looking each day. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Do you like that? That's my best voice, by the way. You know, oh, thanks, thanks. Come on. God. You know, I've met a few people who are not humble, a bit like me, but there are many, many people in the world, many of us actually, who lack humility. You know, I was working once with a guy called Jim Golby, and Jim Golby was very proud of his qualifications. I work at the university with academics. I'm an academic myself, as you can probably tell by the way I look. And Jim was very proud of his qualifications. He'd been to Cambridge, you know, and it meant that when we had graduation ceremonies, he wore a really fluffy hood, and it was really kind of looked like royalty. It looked like he was wearing a royal robe, you know, and he was very proud of that. And he used to make sure that everyone knew that he'd been to Cambridge and that he was really intelligent because of that. And I heard a story once, a colleague of mine who used to be a student, he's now an academic himself, he went to see Jim one day and he went to knock on his door, knocked on the door, and then Jim said, "Come in." And so Jason, this guy's name was, he walked in and he sat down. And he said, "So Jim, can you help me with this?" And Jim said, "Huh, hang on a minute. Just start again. Go out of that door, close it, and have a look at what the sign says on the front of that door." So Jason thought, all right. So he got up, went out, shut the door, looked at the sign, saw what it said, went back in, and sat down. And Jim said, "What did that sign say?" And Jason said, "Dr. Jim Golby." And he said, "Precisely. I didn't read all the books on these shelves just so that you could call me Jim." That's not a humble person, is it? That's not the kind of humility that Jesus wants us to have. That's the opposite. But I tell you what, that's what the world is like. The world is full of itself. You know, people go on shows like X Factor in order to show everyone their talents. And in one way, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? But in another way, it's self-glorifying about our self-importance and self-centeredness. Jesus was nothing like that. And Jesus wants us to be like him. You know, in this passage of the Bible that I read you, I want to pick out three things. Three things about serving, three aspects of serving. First of all, why should we serve? Second, who should we serve? And third, how should we serve? The truth is that all of us serve something, but it might not be God. All of us serve someone, but it might not be God. I wonder who you're serving with your life. I wonder what you're serving. I'm going to give you an opportunity to decide to serve God tonight through following Jesus. You see, the first reason why serve, is simply to follow Jesus. Jesus said, "I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you." It's quite simple, isn't it? I've set the example, you follow it. But it's very difficult for us to do that because we're not Jesus. Jesus is perfect and we're not. But Jesus wants us to follow him because if we do, that's the way to blessing. You know, this series that we're doing is called Making Life Work. The only way to make your life work is to follow Jesus. Will you do that? Can you do that tonight? Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never met him. Maybe you've never had a relationship with him. Maybe you've been to church for ages and you still don't have that relationship. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Because once you know Jesus, then you can begin to follow him. How do you get to know Jesus? Well, one of the ways is to read this book. I want to encourage you, if this is your first time in church, or if you've never done this, to start to read about Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I tell you, you'll meet Jesus if you do that. Many people have met Jesus and been saved that way. Do you want to be saved tonight? Because as it is, if you don't know Jesus, you need to be saved because you're heading somewhere else. You're heading away from Jesus to a place that you don't want to go. Jesus wants you and I to go to heaven because heaven is where he is. Heaven is where he desires you to go tonight. And it's your choice. You know, Christianity isn't about working your way up to God. That's not what this is about. When I'm talking about serving, that's not what I'm saying. You can't earn your salvation through doing things. No. You can get salvation by saying yes to Jesus tonight. Please don't confuse what I'm saying tonight. So the first thing, why serve? To follow Jesus, to follow his perfect example. Why? Because if we do, we'll have a blessed life. Jesus says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Blessed. Who wants to be blessed tonight? Put your hands in the air if you want to be blessed. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, if you want to be blessed, hallelujah. You will be if you follow Jesus. If you believe in the things that Jesus said and believe that they're real for you, you will be blessed. Let me read you a story written by a Christian journalist. I've got this book here called A Life Worth Living, written by Nicky Gumbel, who authors the Alpha Course. And I like Nicky Gumbel because he's very, very clever, but he's also very, very clear. And he explains things in a very clear way, much clearer than I can do. So I want to read you this for that reason. This is what this says. This person is called Philip Yancey. You might have heard of him. Some of you are who are Christians already. He said, in my career as a journalist, I've interviewed many different kinds of people. And looking back, I can roughly divide those people into two types, stars and servants. The stars include sporting heroes, film actors, music performers, famous authors, TV personalities, and people like that. In my limited experience, he says, these idols are as miserable a group of people that I've ever met. Most have troubled or broken marriages and relationships. Nearly all are hopelessly dependent on psychotherapy and drugs. And in a funny, strange kind of way, these larger-than-life heroes seem tormented by self-doubt. I've also spent time with servants, this journalist says. People like Dr. Paul Brandt, who worked for 20 years amongst the poorest of the poor leprosy patients in rural India, or relief workers in Somalia, Sudan, Ethiopia, Bangladesh, or other places where human suffering is at its highest. He said, I was prepared to honor these people and admire these servants and show them as inspiring examples, but I wasn't prepared to envy them. But he says, now as I reflect on the two groups side by side, stars and servants, the servants clearly emerge as the favored ones. They work for low pay, long hours, and no applause, wasting their talents and skills among the poor, but somehow in the process, losing their lives, they find them. I wonder if you've found your life yet. Do you want to live a blessed life? Well, begin following and serving Jesus. Jesus has a plan for your life and mine, and he wants you to realize it. It starts, though, with deciding for yourself to follow him. If you're prepared to, you can do that tonight. So who should we serve? My wife was meant to be with me tonight. She was meant to come here tonight and do this point, so apologies if it's not very good. But our little daughter spilt some coffee on herself earlier, so she had to go to hospital But it was all right. She was in and out quickly. But Stacey thought it best to stay with her. So that's why Stacey's not here. And you've just got me. She's much more intelligent and beautiful than me. So apologies for that. So who serve? Who should we serve? Well, first of all, when you're serving God, you're serving Jesus as well. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Jesus says in this passage that I read you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Jesus is humble. Jesus listened to everything that God said and followed God's will for his life to death. And we're called to do the same. And through doing that, we're called to serve other people. You know, Jesus once said, when someone came to him and asked him, what's the most important thing for us to do? What's the greatest commandment that God has given? And Jesus replied and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we're called in this world, you and I, whoever you are in this room tonight, you're called to love other people, not hate them. You might look at the news and think, it's full of hate. Well, it is, isn't it? Because the world is full of sin. If only the world knew Jesus, if only the world had encountered Jesus in the way that Emily has, if only the world was filled with the kind of love that only God can give, if only. Who's going to tell those people? Who's going to tell other people about Jesus and show them the love of Jesus through their own lives? Well, it's you and me, isn't it? You and I are called to do that. Serving other people. Jesus said to his disciples, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. And that means serve one another in humility. Jesus wants us to do that. You know, I've often served myself, to be honest with you. I've spent all my life, really, trying to get qualifications to get the job that I wanted. And when I got it, it was a bit of an anticlimax, to be honest with you, because I was serving myself. I've served myself when I've been, the short time I've been involved in this church and in ministry, I've served myself quite a lot, actually. I remember the first time that I ever went to Estonia was for a Route 61 conference in 2014. The first time I went, before we went, I was sure that I was going to be preaching. I was sure that I was going to be preaching the gospel. I was going to be doing this because I thought I'm called to do this, you know. It's all about me. I'm good at this and I can do this. I'm actually not that good at it, but I think I was. I think I am. And, you know, the truth is I was serving myself. And you know what? God taught me a mighty lesson in that conference. I didn't do any of that stuff. I didn't really hold the microphone at all. What I did do, though, is make the tea and go and get the food for the other people who were serving in this conference. And you know what? That was the best lesson I could ever have had. Because God taught me that actually it's important to love other people, that it's not about me, that it's about what God is doing through us as a church, through us as a people. You know, it's not good to serve ourselves. Maybe you're in here and you think, oh, I'm all right. I've lived an okay life. I've never done anything bad to anyone. Well, that's all right. But God has another plan for you. God has a plan for you to actually make a difference to other people. I love the story about people who make a difference. Many, many Christians have made a difference to this world. And you're one of them if you want to be. If you choose to be, you can be one of them. It starts with being obedient and listening to Jesus and what he wants you to do. You know, you may have heard me tell this story before, but I just love it. There was once this big beach, and on this beach, the tide had gone out, and it had left on the beach loads and loads of starfish stranded. Thousands and thousands, probably tens of thousands of starfish were stranded on this beach, were drying up in the sun and dying because, you know, starfish can't move outside of water. And on this beach, this man was walking along, and he saw this little kid. And this little kid was picking up the starfish and throwing them back into the sea, and going to another one, picking it up, throwing it back into the sea. And this man was laughing, you know, he was like, what's he doing? So he went up to this little boy, this 10-year-old boy, and he said, how can you expect to make a difference? There's thousands and thousands of starfish on this beach. What are you doing? And the little boy looked at him, and he picked up a starfish, and he threw it back into the water, and he said, it made a difference to that one. You know, you can make a difference. You're called to make a difference. God wants you to make a difference. Will you stop serving yourself tonight and decide to serve others? Because that's what God wants us to do. Maybe you're serving money tonight. Again, I've served money myself. Still to an extent do serve money. You know, serving money is seemingly what the world is all about. You heard the saying that money makes the world go round, haven't you? It's a load of rubbish. Because God makes the world go round, actually. Money is just part of the world and actually not an important part. You know, in heaven, they walk on money. They walk on streets paved with gold. That's how much money is worth in heaven. But many of us serve money. We talked about money last week, if you were here. Maybe use this scripture. Jesus said once, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. You know, I've learned a lesson that if I don't serve money, actually, my life is better. And I have more money if I don't serve it. Don't know if that makes sense. Let me tell you a story about it. I told you I went to Estonia a couple of years ago. And actually, all of our family went for our church conference, our first church conference, Route 61 conference. It was awesome, wasn't it? Who went on that conference? Yeah, about 70 people from the church went. It was absolutely brilliant. But, you know, we didn't have the money to go. I've got a family with three kids. And it was going to cost about £2,000 for us to go. And I just didn't have that kind of money. But what I did have is a relationship with God. So we decided, myself and my wife, to pray for the money. So we prayed, and we prayed every day for about 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks' time, I got a phone call, and it was from a bank. And they said, Mr. Gibbons. And I said, hang on, I'm Dr. Gibbons. No, I didn't really. So, and they said, hi, Mr. Gibbons, I think we owe you PPI. And I was like, all right, because, you know, PPI companies call you all the time, don't they? We owe you PPI. But this was my own bank. That doesn't happen very often. So I thought, all right, I'll listen to what you have to say. And they said, yeah, I think we might owe you some money. Can you fill out this questionnaire? We'll send you it. And then if we do owe you money, we'll give you it. So I thought, okay. So I got this questionnaire sent, and I filled it out. And I thought, I don't know even what I'm doing, you know. What am I doing? I don't know what happened when. It's all about some kind of time in the past. I don't remember. So I did as best I could, and then I sent it back. And I didn't hear for a while, actually. I didn't hear anything. And then one day I got a phone call, and they just went through a few things on this form with me. And then they put down the phone and said, okay, thanks. That was it. And again, I didn't hear for ages. But then one morning, about 3 or 4 weeks after that, I got the post, and in the post was a check from a bank for £2,000 for exactly the amount that we needed. Isn't that good? Isn't that God? You know, that happened again because we're going to Estonia this year in August. That happened again with a different thing. This time, we needed the same amount because we're going for the same amount of days. So we decided, right, we haven't got the money. We'll pray to God. And this time, something I'd written at work, a book I'd written, had actually got me some royalties and I didn't realize. And just at the time that we needed to pay for the flights and the accommodation for this conference, £2,000. Isn't God amazing? See, when you trust God and you start to serve God rather than money, you're blessed. Absolutely blessed. There are many people in this church who live entirely by faith, you know. They don't live by sight in money in their bank account. Oh, no. They live by faith in God. You know, I'm more blessed than I ever have been financially since I became a Christian. It's amazing, isn't it? It's not that God can't use money. God wants to use you, not to make money, but to use your money to bless other people. You know, we blessed other people in that conference, I'm sure, through doing the serving that I didn't enjoy at the time, but trained me and helped me. I'm sure that we helped people at that conference, and we're going to do it again. God wants to use you to help other people, to serve them. You know, you can repent if you think, maybe I've been serving myself, maybe I've been serving money. You can repent of that tonight and decide to start serving Jesus. And finally, how do we serve? Jesus, at the start of this scripture, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. How do we serve? Well, it's in love. The way to serve other people is only in love. You know, love is the most important thing. Jesus did what he did for you and me because God loves us, because he loves us. If love is in your motivation to serve, then it's pretty pointless, to be honest, serving. There's many, many people in this church who serve. You know, in the mornings we're at the cinema, and people get here at 7, or probably even earlier, some people, in order to get the stuff ready to take from here, to go up there and to set it all up. That's serving. If they weren't doing that in love, wouldn't last long, would it? Love is the most important thing. It's important because Jesus shows love, and true humility comes from love. Let me tell you a story about a Chinese man who you might have heard of, some of you, called Watchman Nee. Anyone heard of Watchman Nee? Very famous Christian from China. Actually, Watchman Nee started local churches in China, the first person to, in the early 1900s. I mean, he's lived a fantastic life. And Watchman Nee was becoming famous around about the 1930s, late 1920s, 1930s. And the West was starting to read the books that he published. They were being translated into English. And the West was starting to read them. And Watchman Nee, by this time, led a church of thousands and thousands of people. And he taught at many different events and conferences and Bible colleges. And these American pastors, after reading his work, decided they would go and visit him. They would go from America to China to visit him. And so they went on this journey. And they were told that Watchman Nee, they got to China, they were told that Watchman Nee was at this conference in the mountains. So they made this trek to the mountains to meet Watchman Nee. And they went up these loads and loads and loads of steps, hundreds and hundreds of steps, to get to this place where they were told Watchman Nee was going to be up. And you know, they got there, and the place was deserted. They traveled all this way from America, these pastors, to see Watchman Nee, and the place was deserted. And they were a bit deflated when they got there. But anyway, they went into this building, and they looked around, and they heard someone whistling. So they looked everywhere, and they kept hearing this whistling, and eventually they found the janitor in the toilet mopping the floors, mopping the men's toilets. And so they said to him, "Hey, we've come to see Watchman Nee. Where is he?" And the janitor said, "Oh, everyone's away at a conference, but you're after Watchman Nee. Hang on." So the janitor went, he put his mop down, and he went into another room. And then he came out again with a jacket on, and he said, "Watchman Nee, nice to meet you." You know, Watchman Nee served in humility. Watchman Nee once said, "Genuine humility is unconscious." God's workmen must be emptied of self that they're unconsciously humble. Humility is leadership from the bottom up. It is servant leadership by example. You know, we've got many leaders in this church. And the way to become a leader, I've learned, is to serve. Because through serving, you're trained and you're blessed. And it enables you to bless other people. And you know, I'm not telling you this because I'm the most humble servant. I'm actually the least humble servant that there is. But I tell you, serving works. We've heard about Route 61 tonight. If you want to become a member of this church, you need to do Route 61. If you haven't done it, can I just encourage you to do it? It's how you become a member of this church, and it's only members who can serve and be blessed by serving. You know, this church isn't actually just a church. It's going to be a movement. You know that there's a revival coming in Europe, and we're being sent there, and it's starting already. Do you want to be part of that? Do you want to join the team? Do you want to do something awesome for God with your life? Well, come, do Route 61 and be blessed. Why do you have to do Route 61? Well, the reason is because you have to receive the love of Jesus first for yourself before you can give love to other people. If you haven't done that, or maybe you've done Route 61, I've done it 8 times. Maybe you haven't done Route 61, or maybe you've done it and not received everything that God has for you. I want to encourage you, do it for the first time, or do it again, because every time, God blesses it. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're the most humble servant that's ever lived. You're the most humble servant that we've ever known. You're the best example, Jesus. You know, if you want to follow Jesus tonight, start following, start serving God for yourself. I just want to give you an opportunity right now. Maybe you've never served anything other than money or your job or work, just like everyone else. But maybe you want to make a decision tonight to change that and start to serve Jesus. If that's you, if you want to do it, if you want to start to serve Jesus for yourself, I want to give you an opportunity to. If you want to start to serve Jesus and live your life for him, I want to encourage you to put your hand up to Jesus. Just put your hand up. You're not putting up to me. Well done, well done. You can put your hands down when you've done it. Everyone's eyes are closed. If you want to say yes to Jesus tonight, maybe you don't understand all this, you don't understand it all yet, but if you want to see your life change, and if you want to change other people's lives, it can only be through Jesus. If you want to start to follow Jesus, please put your hand up. Anyone else? Well done. God sees those hands. Well done. You can put your hand down when you've done it. Final call. Last orders at the bar. Anyone else? Well done. Well done. Fantastic, Kyle.